a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Energy to order. I would like to welcome all those in attendance and also welcome those who may be listening on the internet. And I would remind you all to check your cell phones and make sure they are either turned off or set to silent, along with any other electronic devices you may have. And with that, I will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representative Fargin.
Here.
Greenfield.
Here.
Howley.
Here.
Hubble.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Kirschman.
Here.
Miller. Nordstrup.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Willison.
Here.
Consett.
Here.
And Solem.
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum present this morning. I'm certain everyone had the opportunity to review the minutes of the last meeting, and I would entertain a motion. Representative Greenfield moves approval of the minutes, seconded by Representative Consett. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. We've got a pretty full schedule for today. One administrative note for those here. I would like you to look at the schedule. And the chair is going to move House Bill 1109 to next Monday. And that's with concurrence of all parties concerned. So we will hear that on Monday, January 30th. I would like for those that are going to testify this morning to make sure you've signed in at the back of the room on the podium. And all of those that are going to testify, I will be watching credentials as you come up to the podium as well. Also a reminder that all questions or comments will be addressed through the chair. I would appreciate that. So with that, let's get down to business. The first bill on the agenda is House Bill 1071. House Bill 1071 is an act to increase the benefits that Insurance Guarantee Association may become obligated to cover for annuities. And with that, I will hear proponent testimony for House Bill 1071. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Mark Willardson, Representative from District 11 in Sioux Falls. And in full disclosure, I am also an agent with Farmers Insurance Group. Next month on the 15th, I'll celebrate my 23rd anniversary. Well, House Bill 1071 is a consumer protection update. I'll call your attention to the seventh page. We're changing two words in the law on page seven. Under the section dealing with annuities, we're changing from $100,000 to $250,000. I say this is a consumer protection update in that this protection for our South Dakota consumers has not been updated since the South Dakota Guarantee Association was implemented. The South Dakota Guarantee Association is kind of a last resort for our consumers in South Dakota. I say that because if an insurance company was to go bankrupt, and they have policyholders in South Dakota, the first order of business is the Division of Insurance would take that book of business from South Dakota and offer it to other companies that are doing business in the state. And typically, you know, that's how a bankruptcy has been resolved. I don't think that there's been a company that's been bankrupt since the mid-1980s, and that's how those issues were resolved back then. The South Dakota Guarantee Association, then you could liken it to the FDIC, that in particular, where it comes to annuities, that if I come to Representative Solem and I say, Representative, you got that inheritance of $250,000, and I'd like to have you consider putting it into an annuity so that you can safeguard it and keep it. And Representative Solem might say, well, sure, that sounds okay, but, you know, what's the guarantee on it? And I can say to him, well, it's guaranteed to $100,000. And he'd say, well, Mark, I can take it to the bank and put it in a CD, and I have a guarantee of $250,000. So in a nutshell, that's exactly what House Bill 1071 is intended to do, is to level that playing field and protect our consumers in South Dakota. This particular change models... is taken after models from various organizations and has their support. I'll hope that you'll hear from a couple other proponents that will make that point. So I would encourage your favorable consideration of House Bill 1071. And, Mr. Chair, I'd stand by for questions at the appropriate time.
Thank you, Representative. And just as a comment, you'd mentioned Representative Solem receiving an inheritance of $250,000, and I'm just wondering if my wife would have any say in the distribution of those funds.
Well, sir, I would think that would be a personal situation between you and your wife, and I would be happy to, you know, participate in that conversation when it comes about.
And I thank you for your support. Any other proponent testimony for House Bill 1071? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Justin Smith. I'm here today testifying on behalf of the American Council of Life Insurers, a national organization that represents over 300 fraternal organizations that have life insurance programs. And our members represent 90% of the assets and premiums of the U.S. life insurance and annuity industry. ACLI does support House Bill 1071. We would like to thank Representative Willardson for bringing this bill, and in particular for working with the insurance industry and the annuity industry in crafting the language of the bill. The bill represents an additional protection for South Dakotans, and as Representative Willardson described it beautifully, it is a consumer protection type piece of legislation. It will mean more uniformities as well for companies operating in multiple states. And ACLI would ask for your favorable vote on House Bill 1071. I can stand by for any questions if you have them.
Thank you very much. Any other proponents? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I apologize. I have a cold, so I'm having a little trouble with my voice. I am Darla Rogers, and I represent the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors of South Dakota, and that is a group of agents who would be selling the type of products that are protected here by this bill. I would echo the comments of the prior proponents. We do believe that this is additional protection for consumers of South Dakota. Representative Willardson was kind enough to provide my association with a copy of the bill prior to the session. We've reviewed it, and we're happy to rise in support of the bill and his efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Proponents for House Bill 1071. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members, Merle Shiver of the Division of Insurance. We rise in support of this legislation also that Representative Willardson has brought forward. As he indicated, the amount has not been changed since the inception of the guarantee fund. That was in 1989. There was also a similar change last year in the long-term care amount, too. So this is similar or piggybacks more or less on that, only this is annuity instead of long-term care. And it does get us in compliance with more of the NAIC model on the Guarantee Fund Association. So we urge your support, and I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents? Any other proponents to House Bill 1071? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1071? Any opponents? How did you do that, Representative Willardson? Any other?
I did did my homework.
Any other opponents? Seeing no opponents, I would close public testimony and open it up for committee questions. Committee questions? No questions? Seeing none, I would now open it up for committee comments and or action. The motion is due pass on House Bill 1071 by Representative Jensen, seconded by Representative Hubble. Any comments, Representative Jensen? No comments. Anyone else? Seeing no further comments, this will be final action on House Bill 1071. All in favor will say aye. Opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
And Solem.
Aye.
13 yeas.
Having received the majority of the vote of the committee, House Bill 1071 is passed. The motion for to move House Bill 1071 to the consent calendar by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Miller. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 1071 is now on our consent calendar. Thank you. Next order of business, House Bill 1079. House Bill 1079 is an act to revise certain publication date citations for references to the International Building Code. And with that, I will hear proponent testimony on House Bill 1079. Good morning, Representative Kirkby.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Representative Mark Kirkby from Rapid City. And the spirit of the nice attitude that we have in commerce and following the recent consideration on a consent bill, I certainly honorably bring you House Bill 1079. It is a one-word change from the International Building Code. It certainly doubles in value the merit that Representative Willardson's previous bill that had a two-word change. But this is a semi-annual bill. It does require if a local municipality is going to enact new construction standards, totally permissive, they certainly must comply with the International Building Code prescriptions. And, Mr. Chairman, in essence, that's all the bill does. It's changing the words, previous words in statute from the year 2009 to 2012. I would stand by for any questions, but again, this is just one of those housekeeping bills that we're required to do. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Representative. Any other proponent testimony to House Bill 1079? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. We do have to ask the legislature to authorize this every 2 years. And the reason, apparently, that we cannot just put in code the most recent version is because that would be an unlawful delegation of your authority. And so we are required to come forward with this. But it simply says that if they're going to do something with the building code, they start with the most recent version. So we would ask for your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Any other proponent testimony to House Bill 1079? Proponent testimony. Seeing none, any opponent testimony to House Bill 1079? Opponents? Seeing no opponents, I will now close the public testimony portion and open it up for committee questions and or action. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could either of the proponents who testified give us any ideas to any updates that have been made in the International Building Code since 09?
Uh, Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chairman, Yvonne Taylor again. I don't have any specific examples, but I think as they go through and update them, they adopt kind of best practices and new technologies and just update based on those versions. But I do not have a specific example.
Follow-up? Any other questions? Oh, Representative Hawley.
Mr. Chair. I guess for either one of you, I got the question. I'm on the Board of Appeals in Brookings, and part of our job is to adopt the Uniform Building Code for the community. And the issue, as you know, they come out frequently, and there is several changes every time in the Uniform Building Code, and it's such an involved process that what we have actually ended up doing is the City of Brookings, with their full-time engineers, they go through and they come out with several-page document of not adopting that portion of it, and we'll use that as our basis, and then from that we go through, because it's a major process to do this. So we're usually a year or two behind the current building code that's been published. So my question is, what is the impact when I read this? It says that we need to be using the 2012 building code, and we aren't. We're probably on, have adopted 10, and we're waiting for Sioux Falls to tell us what 12 is, to be honest. So what does that do to us in Brookings? Are we out of compliance when we're doing that?
Ms. Taylor?
Mr. Chairman, no, you're not. You could be based off of the 2000 or 1995 if you wanted to. Because you can adopt, modify, and amend in any way that you choose, you do this as you choose to go forward. And so you can stay with the older versions until you choose to update it. This is so that those communities that do keep up every time it updates can go forward and start with the newest. But you are not out of compliance in doing that.
Any other questions?
Okay.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Chair. Okay, so I have a question for you.
Okay.
So should the wording be may instead of shall? I mean, what? Do you see what I'm saying there on line, six? The ordinance shall comply? Or should it say may comply? Do you see what I'm saying to answer Representative Hawley's question?
Certainly. And, yeah, Ms. Taylor, if you'd like to comment, one is permissive, one is not.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason for tying this specifically to one building code is so we don't have 20 different building codes out there. You at least start with the same basic set of building standards, and then the builders know what the rules are. Everybody's operating from the same base set of rules. And so we like the shell because if you're going to adopt a building code at all, at least start with the same set of rules everybody else is using, and that's the intent of the whole process.
Okay.
Follow up then?
Yes. Okay, so I don't see here, I'm not trying to be difficult, but I understand what Representative Hawley's saying. So should it be worded just a little bit different so that you get the feeling that if you're not up to 2012 standards, you're still okay? Additional deletions, modifications,
Mr. Chair.
Okay. I see. Go ahead.
Representative Miller, are you okay with?
Yeah.
And we were there was a reference made to line 9.
Okay.
That is part of the permissive language that says that we may modify.
Ask Representative Hawley.
Do you have a comment, Representative Hawley?
If you look at line 9 through 11.
Page 1 you're talking?
On page
yes.
1. Does that not clarify what you're saying? Does that take care of it?
My question is that we do modify, but the one we're modifying is not 12. The next one that we're going to vote on in 2 months is going to be on 11, is we're going to modify 11 because it takes so long for us to go through that building code to adopt it. So, and I still don't have a real comfort with what they told me based on the shall and may. I mean, I understand I'm not going against the building code and that we all need to be in the same building code. I totally understand all that, but we aren't. We're usually one or two behind the current one.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Willitson, and then okay. Representative Nostrup, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the answer is in the first word of the sentence on line 5. It says, if the governing body of any local unit adopts any ordinance, and so on, then they shall comply with the 2012 edition. So the local government body has to adopt them, and then it says they shall conform to them.
Thank you. Representative Nostrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Willitson kind of helped, but I'm going to try to help a little bit more. We're talking about a word that's been in state law for I don't know how long because it's not underlined or anything, so it's been there. I believe this is my third bill that I voted on to update the International Building Code, and it's worked up to this point. We haven't had cities been out of compliance and being fined and all this stuff. So I would say let's not fix something that's not broken. So just focus on the 09 going to 012 or 2012.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Willitson.
Are we open to action?
Yes.
I'd move do pass.
Second.
The motion do pass by Representative Willitson, seconded by Representative Fargin. Comments, Representative Willitson.
I think, you know, that this is just that one word change, and we need to concentrate on that. I think it's a good bill, and it should go forward, and so I'd appreciate your support.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Foley.
I'm going to support the bill, and I've got no problem with it, but I just want to allow it to go to consent. Just from the simple standpoint, I want to ask a question outside of here. Just to make sure I'm totally comfortable with it. I understand that we've done it in the past. I don't find a good defense as that's how we did it in the past, so we're going to do it the same way as a good defense, personally, but I'm going to support the measure.
We can discuss it. Thank you. Any other comments? Representative Holt.
Yes, I will be supporting this, but I too do not want it to go to consent for further information.
Duly noted. Thank you. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Representative Hawley's brought up a good point, and I certainly understand where you're coming from, and I think, you know, the other representatives have kind of centered the conversation back where it should be. I just want to point out, I asked the question because for the last decade, I've voted on similar bills, never knowing what I was voting on, never knowing for sure what's in the International Building Code. And I don't mean to air dirty laundry or whatever, but I'm just going to tell you, I've learned something that is in there in the recent past. It's relative to lodging facilities. And something that just doesn't make sense to me, if you own a motel, a hotel, what have you, windows have to be of a certain size. They set minimums in their international building code. It has to be 20 inches, minimum of 20 inches wide, minimum of 24 inches high. And so you can comply with that and still not be in compliance with the International Building Code because the other requirement is that it has to have 5.7 square feet of openable space. If you meet the minimums, you're under 4.2 feet of openable space. And when I asked what the logic was behind setting those minimums, they said, well, that way a firefighter in all his garb with a tank on his back and so on and so forth can get through the window. I said, okay, then why the 5.7 square feet of openable space? Well, that's so people can get out. I thought, geez, if there's a fire breathing down my neck, I have a lot more compulsion to get out than that firefighter does to get in. Why do I need that much more space? I'm a big boy, but my goodness, I'm going to find a way out. So anyway, I'm just saying that it would be nice at some point to get a briefing on what exactly, and I don't want the whole deal, but at least know what some of the updates are, for goodness sake, because I've learned the hard way one of the things that is in there. So with that, I'm I don't know how I'm even going to vote, but I've learned that there's more to the International Building Code than meets the eye. So maybe I'll vote no and keep it off consent for you two. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative. Any other comments? Seeing no further comments, the motion is due pass on House Bill 1079. With that, all in favor will say aye. Opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
No.
Holly.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
And Solem.
Aye.
We have 12 yeas, one nay.
House Bill 1079 has received favorable consideration of the majority of the members present and passes. We will send that to the floor. Representative Jones, would you mind taking this conversation to your caucus? I would appreciate that. Thank you, sir. Next order of business is House Bill 1097. House Bill 1097 is an act to revise certain provisions regulating the investment of unneeded state operating expenses in banks. And with that, I will hear proponent testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative David Nordstrom from Aberdeen, or District 3, which is Brown and McPherson counties. House Bill 1097 comes to the legislature, or to this committee, courtesy of the South Dakota Bankers Association. Its goal is to provide units of local government and their local depository bank as a tool to secure full federal deposit insurance cooperation coverage for local funds, whether they are in certificates of deposit or in a money market account. This is permissive language only, and it doesn't mandate anything, and we have the South Dakota Bankers Association to explain a little more and answer questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any other proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commerce Committee. My name is Kurt Everson. I'm here on behalf of the members of the South Dakota Bankers Association. And we do bring this bill forward. It's a follow-on bill to a piece of legislation that the legislature passed in 2004 by a vote in the combined houses of 99-3. Frankly, I like the title of that bill better than I like the title of this bill, because this bill has nothing to do with state operating expenses. Cash flow funds that the state has, the investment council takes care of the investment of those on an ongoing basis. What this bill is aimed at is funds of local government entities, whether they be school districts or counties or cities or townships or the like. Back in 2004, we brought a bill to allow the use of a utility called the Certificate of Deposit Account Registry Service. That's a bit of a mouthful, but the CDERS program, to allow essentially local banks to work with their local government entities to secure full FDIC coverage for certificates of deposit. Back then, the FDIC coverage levels were only at $100,000 per account. Since that time, they've been raised to $250,000 per account. This bill simply does two things. It would expand the use of the CDERS technology, that registry service, to funds held in money market accounts. So the more ready cash reserves of whether it be counties or cities or school districts or the like, it allows banks to essentially exchange deposits. If you're bumping up against that $250,000 limit, it allows a bank to go and use this registry service to search for a bank that they can exchange some deposits with to obtain full FDIC coverage for those all of those deposits. If without this tool, a bank has to pledge assets in their investment portfolio as security for any amount of deposits that are over the $250,000 amount. So this is just another tool that banks can use with their local government customers. As Representative Nordstrom said, there's nothing that is mandated in this. I will tell the committee that since 2004, the Certificate of Deposit Registry Service has been used to secure insurance coverage for $125 million worth of local government deposits. So the service has worked pretty well for CDs. We'd like to expand it by your favorable consideration of this bill to money market funds. The other part of the bill I should mention, you'll see there is language that deletes some references to some estate savings and loan in South Dakota for a long, long time. Back in 2007, the Division of Banking brought a bill to basically strike any reference to that, and so that language, striking savings and loan associations, is just cleanup language. It has no substantive effect. So I'd be happy to answer any questions at the appropriate time, Mr. Chairman. Hope you can support 1097.
Thank you, Mr. Everson. Any other proponent testimony to House Bill 1097? Proponent testimony. Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1097? Any opponents? Seeing none, I will close the public testimony portion and open it up for committee questions and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Konzett.
Move to pass.
Second.
The motion, move to pass on House Bill 1097 by Representative Konzett, seconded by Representative Willardson. Comments, Representative?
No, thank you.
Representative Hubble? Yes, ma'am.
I do have a question.
I will allow that.
Just so I'm sure of this for the department, this is basically public funds that you wish to invest in more than what you can right now, correct? I mean, if you just put this in a nutshell.
Mr. Chairman.
Please.
Yes, that's correct, Representative Hubble. This is just, expanding the concept beyond time deposits, certificates of deposit, to more ready cash funds that are typically held in some kind of a money market account or a cash sweep account. That's what it does.
Any other comments? We have a motion to pass. Which is the final action by this committee. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Konzett.
Aye.
And Solem.
Aye.
13 yeas.
House Bill 1097, having received a majority of the votes of the members present, passes. Representative Fargin. The motion to move 1097 to our consent calendar by Representative Fargin, seconded by Representative Kirschman. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 1097 is now on our consent calendar. Thank you. And Representative Hawley, would you take this bill to your caucus, please? Thank you. The next bill on our agenda is House Bill 1103. House Bill 1103 is an act to provide for a maximum rate of interest or finance charge for regulated lenders. With that, I will open it up for proponent testimony to House Bill 1103. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commerce and Energy Committee. I bring you 1103 today to start the discussion about reinstating the possibility of some type of a cap on interest rate charges in the state of South Dakota. And I have talked to Representative Kirschman, and of course I would ask, once I'm done testifying, that the bill be properly disposed of, either tabled or 41st aid, because I'm doing this for purposes of discussion, to have people, start thinking about what we're doing in South Dakota and the nation when it comes to interest rates. As you know, the history of the 12% cap was removed to allow the credit card companies to come into South Dakota. And that has been good in Sioux Falls, particular, for some part-time jobs and a few full-time jobs, and that way. But it's also caused some issues of what I call legalized stealing of consumers, with abusive credit card practices, people not being able to control their wants and needs and the ability to pay. I have three daughters, and when they were, I think, juniors and seniors in high school, they were getting up to 5 to 7 credit card applications in a week. And some type of maybe an education program before they're given a credit card in credit management and those kind of things. And I can say I was lucky. My daughters didn't abuse the credit cards and didn't even accept them or whatever. But many cases, that's not the case. And for one reason or another, that does happen. And it's an effort, maybe to live the playing field and let everyone live under the same cap. Well, then we have the issue of the payday loan companies and those folks, and there's no limit on them as well. And there's even further issues with that, about what the percentages is and those kinds of things. And, of course, I've heard it from the bankers over and over again, with the credit unions and the farm credit, that they don't pay a franchise tax and their rates and all those kinds of things. So let's make it the same for everybody. But I do realize there's some issues with the bill, so I would ask that it's a purpose of starting point, and certainly maybe this isn't the right way. If we need to cap it someday, look at different rates for all those things. But maybe we should have come up with a bill, and we're going to look at it for next year or whenever, to require some type of an education program before these people do get credit cards, because it's a real horror story out there with those types of issues. And we'll go with, we do have another bill that we're going to be talking about, the franchise tax, which will be even more exciting. But I do think that's got a little more more food for thought than this. But I would ask that that you do that. And, whether you want opponent testimony or not, or other proponents, that's up to you. But it needs to be discussed. We need to look at this issue. They're going to say, well, we're going to cap the number of borrowers. Well, maybe that's a good thing, that we do a little better job of screening, so we don't have these issues of excessive credit card balances and people, the interest alone, they can't even pay the interest, and getting into those types of situations. And sometimes it's beyond their control, but I always like to think that prevention is the best medicine. And before I close, I just wanted to share, I do have a goal in my life, and that's to someday own or partially own part of a community bank. And I probably aren't making too many community bankers happy with this legislation today, but it is one of the goals in my life to try to be able to help more people in the great state of South Dakota by being a part of the banking system. So with that, I would close, and again, dispose of this any way you want. I'm just trying to make some points, and I have no real heartburn that this would have any hope of passing. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. It's refreshing that the prime sponsor of a bill has given this committee the latitude to move in either direction. Are there any other proponent testimony? Any proponent testimony? With that, I will give the opponents to House Bill 1103 an opportunity to speak their piece.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Brett Kennecke. I'm a lawyer from Peer and a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Bankers Association. I would ask you also to table Representative Klochek's bill. I would say that about the only thing I need to respond, I think, is to say that the bankers of South Dakota are fairly uniform in their opinion that the price of credit ought to be regulated by the marketplace, the creditworthiness of the borrower, the quality of the project or the usefulness of the funds, and the last place that the price of credit ought to be regulated is by the government. I think we've proven a long time ago that that doesn't work out. We don't know what inflation is going to be. We don't know what the creditworthiness of the borrower is going to be in a specific instance. And if the marketplace is allowed to work so that everybody knows what they're getting into ahead of time, that's the best place for the state to be on this issue. So we would ask you to table this bill and allow the marketplace to dictate what the price of credit is.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Any other opponents wish to testify? Seeing no further opponents, I will close the public testimony portion of on House Bill 1103 and open it up for committee action. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to table the bill.
Motion to has been moved by Representative Greenfield to table House Bill 1103, seconded by Representative Jensen. A move to table doesn't require conversation, and as such, I will ask the Secretary to call the roll. All those in favor say aye. All opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
13 yeas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I remember.
Thank you, Representative. House Bill 1103, having received a majority of the votes of the members present, has been tabled. Looking at your agenda, as mentioned earlier, we've moved House Bill 1109 to next Monday's order of business, and with that, that leaves one remaining bill. And since we've had a couple of other committee members had the opportunity to have a go with our own committee, it's now time for the chair to have a go with this committee. And I see throats being cleared, and the sabers rattled. And as such, I will pass the gavel to our very capable vice chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We will now be opening hearing on House Bill 1119. Revise certain provisions concerning mechanical pull tab devices. We'll now hear any proponent testimony on House Bill 1119. And to let you know, under my gavel, it's a little bit different. You have to sing your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Roger Solem, representing District 5, Watertown. I bring you House Bill 1119 as a constituent bill. And I like these one-paragraph bills. And this bill actually... there are two parts to this bill. And if you look at line 8 on that particular piece of legislation, the change is coin operated to coin or bill. And think about our soda machines or candy machines in the basement of this building. We've long since gone past the simply coin-operated only type of vending machines, and we've had the opportunity, and technology has allowed us to use bills in those machines as well. So that line 8 is simply an update to technology that we have today. I had, and a reference has been made to the statute 22.25.25.1, and The other line or the addition to this particular statute asked that we use pull tabs, and I'm sure we've all seen pull tabs used by various organizations as a fundraiser, very much like a raffle. You've got a group or an organization that's going to give away a shotgun or a piece of artwork and so on, and generally used as a fundraiser for their organization. Well, with the reference statute and the sheet that I handed out, that's the statute that covers bingo and various types of lotteries that these organizations use. However, pull tabs fall under a different portion of our state law. And my constituent, all they're asking for is that we bring in the permissive language, talking about civic groups and service clubs and volunteer fire departments, bring that language out of the bingo statutes and add that on to the pull tab statute. And you know, the pull tabs are presently being sold by those organizations, but they can't use a machine to dispense those pull tabs. And the only reason why they would like the machine is to, number one, it kind of takes the human link out of that, you know, where an individual is standing there selling pull tabs out of a box, and it gives them more accountability for the dollars, and it gives them more accountability for the numbers of pull tabs that have been sold out of that particular box, and it's just an upgrade to technologies that we have today. And with that, Madam Chair, that's the gist of House Bill 1119, and I will be available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Solem. Any further proponent testimony on House Bill 1119? Proponent? Seeing none, I'll now open it up to opponent testimony to House Bill 1119. Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, I will now move it up to committee questions. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I may have a couple here, if I might. First of all, I'm wondering if you foresee a circumstance or situation in which a local service club, you know, seeks to place these in a local business. Would that be acceptable? So long as, obviously, it comes from the service organization.
No, I think the intent, and I think a lot of that language is covered by the bingo and lottery statute, where there are controls for these types of activities by the service organizations and so on. I don't think the intent is to go out and start placing numerous machines around the state in grocery stores or convenience stores. It's just to be handled within their own small club room or organization.
That's it for now. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Willetton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, is there a minimum age requirement for a person to be able to buy a pull tab?
Madam Chair, thank you for that question, Representative. I'm not certain if that's even highlighted here. And in this particular statute that covers pull tabs, no, there's not an age. However, that I would think would be limited under the bingo and lottery statutes. But I can't pull that out of this particular statute.
Representative Wilson, follow-up?
No, thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question. Just some of us don't even know what pull tabs are.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
Proceed.
Thank you. Pull tabs, and I should have brought some, are just simply a small cardboard device. They're sold in a box. I'm not certain what the quantity is, whether it's 500 or whatever. And the object is one of the organizations would buy this box, say, for example, $500, okay? And out of that box, then, there are already built-in odds, you might say, that out of that $500 expenditure, say they can raise $1,000, okay? And then in that box, there are pull tabs that, for example, would allow winnings of $500, and thus the service organization would have, as a fundraiser, have $500 available to do with what they wish. And the pull tab itself is a series, depending on the pull tab, of four or five or six little tear-off windows. And depending on the game, you need to match three or four of the items or numbers or pictures or whatever they might be underneath the pull tabs. I apologize for not clarifying that.
Follow-up?
Thank you. The only reason I have heard of pull tabs, I did not know what they were, but I've heard of people doing those in bars, not in community. From my kids, okay, they're talking about when they go to a bar, there's pull tabs. This is in Minnesota bars. That's not the situation here. They wouldn't be in a bar then, would they?
Well, as you will see in the legislation, a chartered veterans organization is already permissible under the statute. So if you were in a bar operated by VFW or Legion or something, certainly that would be within their right to do that. And they're already doing it. The whole concept of this particular piece is to allow a machine to take care of that cash transfer.
Representative Hubble, follow-up?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have a question regarding the definition of civic or service club. How broad is that paint stroke?
I asked that question, and when we were drafting the bill, and after some conversation, I guess I went back to the LRC, and I asked, show me the textbook definition of a civic or a service club. And, you know, I guess it's generally accepted language as lined out in the statute that I provided you referencing bingo, and it was more of a cut and paste back into this one, and the comment was, well, however they organize, and I use the example for the guys down at Bubba's Garage, can they consider themselves a civic or fraternal organization? And the comment, well, as long as they fall in line with having a president and having an organization set up that would meet the Internal Revenue Codes for a civic organization or a nonprofit organization. So I guess I'm not certain whether we have defined in our statute what a service club is.
Madam Chair.
Follow-up?
Just for future reference, and I understand that, you know, the intention of this bill, and if a Rotary Club or Kiwanis or Lions Club wants to pursue this as a fundraising activity, I don't have a problem with that. It might not hurt, though, in the future for us to try to take a look at how to define these organizations so that it's not the boys down at Bubba's that put together a civic or, you know, service club and proceed with their gambling activity. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further questions? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing portion on House Bill 1119 and open it up for committee discussion and or action. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move do pass.
It has been moved by Representative Greenfield and seconded by Representative Jensen to do pass House Bill 1119. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we asked a couple questions that, you know, probably get us a little bit more involved in what's actually on paper here. We're not exactly opening the door to something brand new. We're updating statute, one, to recognize that these can be bill operated. We're not in the 50s anymore. And two, to cut in the volunteer fire departments and local service or civic club, local civic or service clubs. Probably not going to change the world as we know it. Just allow those different groups an opportunity to, again, engage in some different fundraising activities and do so legally, because there may be some pull tabs out there already being sold by some of these organizations. So with that, I'd encourage everybody to vote in favor of this bill, and again, keep in mind, remain cognizant of the fact that we may have to take a look at putting some definitions in place in the future. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Greenfield. The question at hand is do pass on House Bill 1119. Representative Willitson.
Can I make a comment, Madam Chair?
Yes, you may.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My concern, I think I'm going to vote for this particular bill, but my concern is that I think that there should be an age requirement for pull tabs in most of the organizations that we see here. You know, if you go to the VFW and go into the bar at the VFW, you're going to have to be 21. And so, you know, I don't see that, you know, as a problem. However, we're permitting the bar and the VFW to have a machine there to dispense pull tabs. And if an underage person were to have access, you know, where there's not adults present or something, you know, that they might be able to purchase pull tabs out of the machine. If they do that, now the problem is if they get a winner, they've got to be able to present it and in order to get payment. So that was my questioning on there, and just wanted to, you know, try to see if there was a potential problem there that we weren't thinking about. But I too think that we should go ahead and pass this bill and send it down to the floor. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further comments? Representative Kirschman.
Well, I think he brought up a point that the bartender pays out on the winning ticket. So if a person was underage, the bartender would be under no obligation to pay on that winning ticket, I think.
Thank you, Representative Kirschman. Any other comments? Seeing none, I will state the question at hand is do pass House Bill 1119. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nerstep.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
And Solem.
Aye.
13 yeas.
House Bill 1119, having received a majority of vote from the members present, do pass. Well, that concludes our business for today, everybody. The chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. Representative Greenfield.
Just really quickly, I think that we should, I don't know if anybody's out in the hallway, but we should acknowledge that we've held over a bill until next week, but there may be somebody from out of town who came to testify, and if so, we should entertain their testimony, I would say. At least make that offer.
Duly noted. Let's see. You are referring to House Bill 1109, as stated by Representative Greenfield. Has anyone come to testify on behalf of House Bill 1109? Seeing none, thank you.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you.